Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Joe Stripmatter joins me today on the podcast. Joe is the founder of Stripmatter Plumbing, Heating, and AC in Denton, Texas. I interviewed Joe in episode 38, Growing a Multi-Trade Powerhouse. In that interview, we learned about how Joe got into our industry, started a company, joined and exited a franchise, joined Service Nation Alliance, met key mentors, grew his business, and added multiple trades. It is a fascinating story. There's lots you can learn from it in that episode. So listen to episode 38 for the background, because today we're going to talk about the rest of the story, which is totally fascinating also. In short, Joe continued to grow his company, sold to private equity, ended up running both Stripmatter and Freymeyer, and is just now leaving the private equity company. He is now a Service Nation Alliance advisory board mentor and a premier coach. And just to be clear, Joe is an incredibly smart guy. He grew a tremendous business, and he is also a great human, a generous contributor to the charities in his community, and also a wonderful mentor to others in our industry. So, Joe Stripmatter, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity. It's so good to get to talk with you again.
Thanks so much for having me, and man, I don't know if I can live up to my reputation.
It's a well-deserved reputation. So what year did you sell to private equity?
I sold September 24th of 2021.
So how long was it from the time that you started Stripmatter until you sold?
I guess it was roughly 15 or 16 years since we started the company back up. Yes, sir.
So roughly how big was Stripmatter when you sold to private equity?
We were $12.5 million.
Wow, fantastic.
We were running 23% net.
Oh, man, they must have loved that. So what made you decide to sell?
You know, I kept hearing from people in the industry that there are windows that open and close, and seeing that the multiples were at all-time highs at that point, I probably sold about a year too early to get the ultimate high. But I had walked away 18, 24 months before from another deal, and I think we talked about that in the last episode, and walked away from that deal, and this deal came up, and it was 4.5 times the money than the first deal was going to be, and I just couldn't turn that down.
Yeah, I bet you felt pretty good about waiting. I mean, it's hard to hit the top of the market, right? But you came darn close.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You chose to stay on with the private equity firm. Why did you do that?
I had a partner, actually two, my wife and then Abe Del Rosa. And we sat back thinking, well, first of all, we have a friend that we grew up with, the three of us, that is partnered with private equity in the healthcare space and had been for a number of years before. And he kept saying a phrase, there's nothing like that money truck backing up at least once. So we had that. And then two, we knew we would get an education on scaling businesses and at the acquisition side. You know, I'm 46. I'll be 47 in April. My non-compete runs out when I'm 49. I'm still way too young to actually retire. And so we wanted to see what it would be like to grow a business through the acquisition portal and how fast you could actually scale a business. And so that was part of the reason why we wanted to sell, is to learn that lesson.
So what was the experience like? I mean, you must have gotten a great education out of this.
Yes, yes. You know, due diligence, I never wish on anybody ever. But thankfully, we had Brian over at SF&P Advisors help us out, and his team treated us with kid gloves. And so it wasn't like the first experience I went through. It wasn't a nightmare 30, 60 day ordeal. It was spread out. So we worked with them. We had come up with our magic number that we wanted and said, hey, if somebody hits this, you know, we'll sell. And they actually went past that number. And so, you know, we had already been working with SF&P, you know, 120 days in advance, and was able to get everything in at our leisure. And so, you know, each month there'd be a bring to date, but That was awesome, this go around. And then two, I didn't even tell the employees that we sold the company until 3 or 4 weeks after. I wanted to make them understand that things weren't changing. And so I wanted as much runway behind it as I possibly could so that we could show them, you know, we were still here, we are still in control, and not have a mass exodus because people were concerned that, you know, we sold the company.
Very smart. I mean, it's hard to pull that off, but you guys did it. You can look back and say, well, has anything really changed over the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know?
Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that helped. And then we had some other people on the platform. And so now I'm getting to see people from all different walks of life, different parts of the country, and how they run their stuff. And that was the education in its own, you know, being able to see real time how others operate. And that's what's pumping me up so much about being a premier coach for Service Nation. We're now going to be able to travel the country and see how others run their businesses and the things that they are doing to be successful, but then, you know, also help perfect that with them.
Yeah, you're really going to enjoy that, and you're going to be fantastic at it. I mean, the people who get to work with you as a premier coach, they are so lucky. I hope they appreciate that. So when you were working with a private equity company, you were over both Stripmatter and Freymeyer. To be clear, so the private equity company acquired Stripmatter and they had acquired Freymeyer, which was a well-known Dallas heating and air conditioning company. So what was all that like?
Very, very interesting. Doubled the size, you know, overnight with what I was controlling. Scared the heck out of me, to be honest, at first, because I hadn't done anything like that. And so, you know, doubling the size of the company overnight and then seeing how things were. We had spoke in advance about me becoming the regional president for my platform and, you know, that Freymeyer to be under my wings. And it was explained to me that they needed a little help. They needed more than just a little help. Freymeyer, unfortunately, has been through some big turmoil, and it goes all the way back from the family, you know, originally to, you know, the people that bought them out of bankruptcy to now. And it's seen a lot of downs as of late. And that was the case when we took over. And I think we ended up firing 30 or 40 people within the first month that I was there. Oh, and there were more to go later. And it was in a difficult position at the time. And I think we've turned it around and got it headed on the right trajectory now. And so that's one reason why I'm stepping away is I feel as if my work is done here.
Yeah, you've completed your mission. Well done. So what does that feel like? I mean, you've run your own business. You've been working for someone else. And now you're exiting your baby, your babies. What's that feel like?
You know, I learned in 2019 that I could only control so much. With me trying to control everything, then the company couldn't grow. And so I had to learn to let go of things. And it was detrimental to my staff, me, you know, restricting everything. And they couldn't have any personal growth. And so now the people that I've had with me for a long time, most of them are still there. And now it's their chance to step into that role and start guiding the ship with the lessons they've learned with me over the years and develop their own way and their own course. And I think that's how I'm looking at it is I'm trying not to hold anybody else back in personal growth. And I think this now opens the door for them to have a lot of personal growth.
Yeah, good for you. That's a good way to think about it. And it's tremendously satisfying to see people that you've worked with over the years do well and hopefully take the company to the next level. That'll be very satisfying.
And they know I'm only a phone call away. So if there is something they need, my phone's always here and I'm always here for them.
So what is it like to go from owning your own business to working for someone else? What was that like for you? I know for some people, it is a little bit of a struggle. I'm not asking you to say anything bad about the owners or anything like that, but it's different. So how did you feel about it?
That was a big challenge for me. In retrospect, you know, I've actually been gone from the company now 6 weeks, and reflecting on everything, when I sold the company, I tried to be as respectful as I could and guide the company the best that I could initially. And then, you know, there was some outside voices coming in and direction given. And I looked at it as, well, this isn't my company anymore. Yeah. I don't own. And so I need to abide by the wishes of others. And I wish now I would have been more forceful in things that I knew that needed to happen. But at the same time, I was thinking, well, maybe I can learn something here. And there were those cases too, but I think I should have held my ground on a couple other places. But I was probably too lenient on a bunch of things that I should have stood my ground. And that's difficult when you're used to doing whatever it is that you want to do. And now it's not yours and you have somebody to answer to, which I never had before. That was a fine line for me to walk and not step over.
It's hard to do. It's a judgment call. You know, your opinion is that what they're asking or what they want to do is not right, but you assume that they have some reasons for asking for it that may not be clear. And, you know, you're not the owner anymore, so you do have to do what they want, but you know that it's wrong. It's hard.
Actually lose my drive. And so I think that was another reason why, you know, talking to my wife, Tanya, I think it was just time because I lost my mojo. I lost my drive to do these things because, again, I should have stood my ground or been more forceful when I wasn't. And reflecting, you know, again, I probably could have been and it had been okay. I just, the way I viewed it now was it's not mine to do.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. So when you look back on your career in our industry, the career so far, what are the key lessons that you learned in growing your business? What were the levers that moved your company? Selling your business, what did you learn? What would you do differently? Working for a new owner, we sort of covered that. But, you know, is the mind shift that needs to take place? Could you talk us through all of that?
In the last podcast, I explained the reason why I'm where I'm at today is because of the late Ron Smith. His book, HVAC Spells Wealth, was the catalyst to everything that I am today. He led me to Service Roundtable, which ended up leading me to Service Nation, which ended up leading me to people like yourself and Matt Michelle and a slew of other mentors. It led me to systems and processes. It led me to the guidance that I needed to steer the operation. And it led me to understanding who I am and what I am. And I am a visionary. I've actually done different personality tests and I am a visionary. And so that led me to EOS and Traction and some of Gino's other books like Rocket Fuel and What the Heck is EOS and Entrepreneurial Leap and all this stuff. And all that led me to knowing who it is that I am and what I should be doing. And saying I'm a visionary doesn't mean I come up with the best ideas and better than everybody else. What it means is I now had a platform through Service Nation and everybody else that I've met to look around and see what others are doing and have the vision of seeing how that would work in my organization or having the ability to look at it and say, well, why don't you try it this way or that way and see how that goes. And so the whole journey has led me to where I am today and seeing where the industry is headed in the future. I mean, there's decisions being made right now behind the scenes that will steer this industry for the next 10 to 20 years. There are programs and AI and this and that that's being done that a lot of people don't even know or realize. And so the journey has led me to this. And now I get to see all this stuff and see how it's going to shape and mold our industry for the future. And it's actually got me pretty pumped. I mean, when you start looking at a smart AC and what it can do, you know, as far as not only the product itself, but when you start crunching the numbers and the profitability behind it, the same thing with, say, like a Bluon. We've, for years and years, have had, you know, somebody sitting at the office, you know, a service manager, let's call them, or a senior tech or technical support to lean on. And if that senior tech's on a job, well, you're going to have to wait. If that service manager's wrapped up, you're going to have to wait. If you call tech support for any of the manufacturers, well, you're definitely waiting and probably build for it. And so now we can jump into Blueon and hit their AI or talk to their tech support people. And there was actually a thread going on about this very subject 2 days ago on Facebook. And Chris Hunter had posed the question of using Blueon. And I explained to him, it's like, hey, if it's a $35 phone call, well, your tech is able to get done now in 30 minutes versus 2 or 3 hours. And they're able to run one more extra call a day at $350, you know, average ticket. What if it's that one call that ends up being a flip? $35 is nothing. And so I think there's instrumental ways of things, you know, AI dispatching, AI booking, AI this and that. I think this is what's going to shape the future. And I'm able to see a lot of these things behind the scenes. And so I think it's going to be phenomenal moving forward. I can't wait to be able to start again. I'm actually in my retirement, I guess we could call it, my semi-retirement, because I'm only going to be here for a little while. But I'm actually writing out a business plan or a business model. If I was to start a company tomorrow or in a year's time from now, how I would structure the company. And I'm shooting for a 30% net now with everything that we have out there and have available to us. And so I'm writing that out today and working through it because I want to be able to share that with the people that I'm coaching and say, hey, look at this over here. And so when they ask me questions, I can tell them, well, this is how I would do it. This is how I have done it. And this is how I would do it moving forward.
You sound very pumped up about it all. So at what point in time do you get to start a new business? And is that what you think you're going to do?
September 25th of 26.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I will. You know, I'm going to have the same philosophy that I had before. I was never concerned about building a massive company. There are some people out there that want to do that and can do that. And that's awesome for them. I like the size company where I can walk through and I know who everybody is. Yeah. And so my driver will be more of a net profit. I want to eventually get to 35% EBITDA. And so if I can do that, then I will consider myself a success. At this point, it's a game to me. Thankfully, my wife and I have made some decisions over our lives that we have the ability of not chasing the dollar. And so now I'm playing it as a game and I just want to get high score. I just got to figure out how I'm measuring myself on the score. And so now it's just about me doing better than I have before and me getting better, learning new things and doing this. Not about the money. I now look at the money as points on a scoreboard. And I just want to be when you walk up to the pinball machine, I want to be that guy on the top.
Wow. How interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to that and hearing how it goes and keeping in touch with you over the years. So you're going to speak at the Spring Roundtables this year, and I can't imagine missing that. If anybody has the opportunity to go, they should go. What are you going to talk about?
I'm actually speaking on two topics. The first topic is how to recession-proof your business, and my wife and I are speaking there. And then the second topic is overcoming the equipment cliff, and Billy Stevens and I are doing that together.
Oh, fantastic. What a great lineup. That will be awesome.
Yeah, I think we've always heard about the three-legged stool and trying to have three avenues of income coming into your business. And historically, on a HVAC side, that has been maintenance, service, and repair. And, you know, we've tried doing some IAQ to add the fourth leg. And some people have been extremely successful. Most have not. And I think there's another leg that we are overlooking. And that's what Billy and I are going to be really diving into. And that's rebuilding systems.
Fantastic. That should not be missed. Well, Joe, thank you so much for your time. This has been absolutely fascinating. I've loved following your business all of these years and seeing what you've accomplished is so fantastic. So thanks for spending this time with us. So if somebody wants to get hold of you, they should contact Service Nation and they will be able to make that happen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, David.
Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, If you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.